Hi there. My name is Pastor Judea Fox from Grace Fellowship Church in Mansfield, Ohio, which you probably know that if you're tuning into our Facebook Live. But instead of meeting in a physical place because of all of the health concerns, we're providing an online service this morning. And I have the privilege and honor to bring the message, bring God's word to you. Well, let's pray. Father God, I just pray that you would stir in me the gifts that you have given me by your Holy Spirit. Give me, Lord, your words to say as I speak to your people today. Lord, we pray that the people who need to hear this would hear it, that your Holy Spirit would be alive and active and working in all of our hearts, both me as a speaker and all those who would hear, to accomplish your good purposes this morning and in the days to come. May this be for your glory, we pray, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want you to think back, like maybe as a kid, you really, really wanted to do something, or you really, really wanted a present, and you got it, but it came with an understanding that you would use it well. I'm thinking of when I was a kid, I wanted desperately to do the dishes. I was just a little kid, and I'd see my mom and my older brother doing the dishes, and I wanted so badly to help. And I kept asking, can I please do the dishes? Can I do the dishes? And finally, my mom said, yeah, I'll teach you to do the dishes. But it didn't take long after that I'm like, wait, now I have to do the dishes? Yeah, now that you know how to do it, you're expected to help do the dishes. I was like, oh, man. And yes, I'm still doing dishes. So thank you, Mom, for teaching me how to do the dishes. It's a skill and a gift that I continue to use. I've entitled the message this morning, Entrusted to You, and we'll be looking at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 through 14. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 through 14. I'd invite you to get your Bible out, your sword, and to read along. The summary call that I feel the Lord has laid on my heart and that he has for his people today is, use the gifts that God has entrusted to you. Use the gifts that God has entrusted to you. Let's read together, starting in verse 6. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flames the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. That's Paul talking to Timothy. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave to us in Christ Jesus before the age began, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher, which is why I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. Follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. Well, a little bit of background in this second book of Timothy, this letter written to Timothy, a young pastor, a young elder in a church, written by his mentor to encourage, to equip, and to strengthen him. He's writing from prison. He's back in a Roman prison, Paul is, and he's writing these encouraging words, these inspiring words to equip and get his protege, his disciple, better ready to do God's work, and honestly, to equip others, because isn't that the call of an elder and a pastor, is to equip the body to do God's work. And so by equipping Timothy, Paul is ensuring that the church is strengthened. But Paul is facing death. He's waiting for execution. He knows his time is drawing to an end. He is going to die soon. And so imagine the urgency, the passion, the love that is poured into every word that he speaks to Timothy, because this is the last time he'll be able to communicate with him. In verse 1, Paul, like he does in most of his epistles, acknowledges who he is and by what authority he speaks. He says, I'm an apostle according to the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus. So he points to the cross as an evidence of who he is and who God has created him to be. To Timothy, my beloved child, he loves Timothy like his own son. Paul has poured his heart and soul into the development of this young pastor. And if you have had others pour into you, I'd invite you to reach out to them if you're able and just thank them for all of the investment they've made in you. Paul goes on to, he says he thanks God in remembrance of Timothy night and day in his prayers. He thanks God for sincere faith. He says, Timothy, I know that you have a real faith. You're not faking it. This is real. And he says, I know that your faith was taught to you by your mother and your grandmother. So there's a history of sincere faith. And he acknowledges that. He wants to remind him of that. Like, don't doubt yourself. You are the real deal, Timothy. Verse 6, for this reason, I remind you to fan into flames the gift of God, which was in you through the laying on of my hands. Probably a reference to his ordination. When he was appointed as an elder in the church, Paul and others would have prayed a blessing over him to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to be equipped to do God's good work. And God had especially demonstrated some gift. I'm not sure exactly what it is, although I have theories. But he's saying, remember that gift. Now, he's not saying that Timothy had walked away from it, or he'd forgotten it, or he didn't have it anymore. But he's saying, stir that gift up. Make it grow. Don't forget it. Don't neglect it, but help it to grow. And when he says, fan into flame, other translations say stir up or fan into flame. It's like this picture of a campfire that has gone down. It's not blazing anymore. And we add some more fuel to the fire, and we get down there and we blow oxygen onto that fire, and it gets bigger. And so he says, growing in and getting strong in your gifts requires an intentionality. We have to work at it. And so these gifts that we're talking about, they can be natural gifts. You know, some people are athletic, some are good at art, some are academically inclined. So we could be talking about some natural gifts, but I think specifically he's talking about spiritually given gifts from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives gifts to each believer. To some, he gives the ability to have words of encouragement to others. To some, he gives words of wisdom or knowledge or prophecy. Some, he blesses with the ability, the gifts of mercy and helps to serve others. A God-given supernatural ability to do these things. So whatever Timothy's gift was, and frankly, whatever your gifts are, the encouragement, the call is the same thing. Stir up those gifts that God has given you. He wants you to grow in them, be more confident of them, make them more ready to be used. Verse 7. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and of love and of self-control. It looks like Timothy was probably a little timid, and Paul knew this, and he needed to be encouraged. And you know what? If you find yourself to be a little timid, Timothy was. Paul was not condemning him. He was encouraging him. Look in the book of Joshua, how many times God says to Joshua, Joshua, be strong and courageous. You don't tell somebody who is completely strong and never doubts, be strong and courageous. You tell somebody, be strong and courageous, because you say, you know that they need encouragement, and you know that it's within them. They have access to it. And by the Holy Spirit, we do have access to this. When he says, I've not given you a spirit of fear, the spirit is that part of us which thinks and decides and governs what we do, how we act, or the decisions we make. That's our spirit. And so the first thing we need to do is, if we're dealing with an intense fear over something, or it's dominating our thoughts and it's keeping us from doing the things we need to do, first thing we need to do is acknowledge that does not come from God. God doesn't give us that kind of fear. So we renounce it, say, God, that's not from God, I don't accept it. And then what do? We pray, we say, God, I know you haven't given me a spirit of fear, but you've given me power and love and sound mind. So we pray for that. We ask God, I want to see that manifested in my life. The kind of fear that Paul is talking about here is, actually it's kind of a hard word, but it's cowardice. That's how it's translated in the Greek. It's a paralyzing or slavish fear where I can't move. I can't do what I need to do. Now, just to be clear, there are good and legitimate reasons to be fearful, to be afraid of things. It's a natural emotion, and to deny it would be foolish. And God has given us reasons to be afraid of certain things. I think of an example. If I'm being chased by an animal, I'm going to run away or I'm going to fight. If I'm walking down a hill and I slip and I start to fall, I'm going to try to do whatever I can to regain my footing, because I don't want to fall and get hurt. There are reasons for fear. Fear is a good thing. Fear keeps us from doing foolish things. I wear my seatbelt so that if I'm in a car accident, I don't get more seriously injured. It's not that I'm terrified that I'm going to be in a car accident, therefore I put my seatbelt on. It doesn't mean that I don't trust the Lord to watch out for me when I'm driving, but I put that seatbelt on because I want to be safe. I think I might have gotten a little ahead of myself, so I apologize for that. But now, dare I say, social distancing could be a healthy fear right now, a respectful fear. We've been asked to keep our distance from large gatherings so that we can try to curb the spread of a potentially dangerous infection. I don't have to be terrified of that, but healthy fear says, I want to protect myself, I want to protect my family. And to be honest, I struggle with this in particular, because they say that people with a compromised immune system need to be careful. Well, I'm one of those people. And so I've had to wrestle with, okay, am I this kind of fearful that I'm going to get sick? I need to trust the Lord, but I'm going to be cautious. I'm going to use wisdom, make good choices. Now contrast that with John chapter 14, verse 27, that says, peace I leave to you, peace I give to you. Not the peace of the world gives. He says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The kind of fear he's talking about is a very similar fear to what Paul's talking about. We don't have to have the paralyzing fear. God gives us peace, and that peace can cast out the paralyzing fear. So we can ask for that peace. That's a promise from God, is that he gives us peace for those who know him. In fact, the scriptures call him the Prince of Peace. So if you're struggling with fear over something, don't be ashamed. You don't need to be discouraged. You can trust in the Lord, who promises to give you peace to those who will trust him. And so we can ask for it. Father, please give me peace. Cast out that fear. So in place of fear, God gives us his spirit, which is power. He gives a spirit of power. Power means strength, ability, that natural ability of a person. I think of my four boys who love to demonstrate their strength. Ooh, look what I can pick up. Daddy, look at me, I'm strong. My three-year-old especially loves to show me his muscles right now. But I even had one of my kids pick up another kid recently and said, look what I can do. So it really doesn't go anywhere. And I'm sure that girls feel some expression of that too, but I can only speak from my experience being a guy. I still like to show that I'm strong. But that's not necessarily the strength that he's talking about. God does bless some with physical strength, but he's talking about a spiritual strength. For the kingdom of God is not just a lot of talk. It is living by God's power. That's 1 Corinthians 4:20. Living by God's power. That's the kind of strength he's talking about. Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power to work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think." God can do amazing things through us, and that's incredible power. 2 Peter 1:3, first half of it says, "By his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life." Oh my goodness. You know, we can try really hard to be a good person and do what we're supposed to do, and try really hard not to do the things we're not supposed to do. But Paul, he struggled with that. He said, "The things I should do, I don't do them. The things I ought not to do, I do them anyway." So he's acknowledging that there is a constant struggle between right and wrong, between God's spirit and our own spirit, our flesh. But 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3 tells us that we have been given divine power, power from God, for everything we need to live a godly life. Oh my goodness, thank you. I don't have to do this in my own strength. Even in a difficult situation, we're told in Matthew chapter 10 verse 19, "When they deliver you over, do not be anxious about how you should speak or what you should say, for in that time you will be given it." God will tell you even how to speak in difficult situations. For those who know me best, especially like my Circle Church, which is a small group that we gather with typically on Sunday mornings, I'll use the analogy of the rubber band. You pick up a rubber band and you hold it on two sides and it pulls taut. But if you're not pulling taut, then you don't see the big picture. And let me explain this. On one side is God doing the work. He is working in us the ability to live a godly life. And on the other side is our desire, our want to actually do it. Because I could say, "Okay, God, you're going to work a godly life in me. You're going to give me power. I don't have to do anything." And then you just sit there. And you sit there. And you sit there. And God's power is not going to be demonstrated in your life. You have to be intentional, to want to do good, to allow God to work in you. And so that's what the rubber band means. It takes both of those things in order to see that happen, in order to grab a hold of these promises. So God gives us strength. And then he goes on to say he's given us love and self-control. And I think that's put there for two reasons. One, because love and self-control are additional gifts that he gives us, but also that when we use the power that God has given us, we are to do it in light of and balanced by the love of God and self-control. That way I don't go around trying to abuse the power I've been given. We'll explain that a little bit more here in a minute. So the love that Paul is talking about is called agape love. It is the most significant, truest, highest form of love there possibly is. It's easy to love people who love you. It's easy to love people when you know that they're going to do good things for you. It's easy to do something for someone when you know in exchange they're going to do something. Like, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. But agape says, "I'm going to do what's loving. I'm going to bless you whether you love me or not." Have you ever done that? Love somebody not expecting anything in return, even if they completely reject what you do for them, but you love them anyway. That is a love that comes straight from God, and that is the love that He has promised us. We have a spirit of that kind of love. We can be reminded that God loves us. God loves us with that kind of amazing love. And we look to the cross as the highest example. Jesus died for us. He took my punishment, your punishment. He didn't deserve to die. He died while we were still enemies with Him. They were spitting on Him. They were mocking Him. And He's looking down at the people who were torturing Him. And He died for them. And He died for us too. That's love. That is love. And we have access to that love. We can feel that love, be assured of that love, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, demonstrate that love to others. Remember the greatest commandment: love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Well, now I can turn that love back to God because He's given it to me, and He works in me through the power of His Holy Spirit. I can now love the unlovable. We go on to self-control. So the opposite of self-control in this case would be a feeling of total chaos and panic. Well, you know what? I've been watching the news every day, and that's what it looks like. Panic and chaos. Especially in the beginning, people were scrambling to try to figure out, okay, what do we do with this new virus? How do we protect as many lives as we can? You know, I acknowledge there's a lot of suffering. People are hurting. People are dying. I have nothing but the most love and respect for nurses, doctors, EMTs, paramedics, nurses' aides, lab techs. Just forgive me, I'm not going to be able to mention everything, but you guys are putting your lives on the line, and I say thank you for that. But there is so much chaos right now, so much fear with what is going on. And God offers His peace, His love. And as we're talking about in verse 7, self-control. I don't have to succumb to the chaos, the panic, or the fear. Instead, I have access to the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. So remember, God gives us power. He gives us boldness to do what He calls us to do, but we're to do it tempered by His love and self-control. So that means in exercising the power that God's given me and the boldness that He's given me, I'm not allowed to sit there and verbally bash somebody. I can't be abusive in how I demonstrate it, arrogant, or unnecessarily offensive. I need to be gentle and loving in the way that I share God's love with others, share His truth with others as well. Verse 8. For those of you who are just joining us, we're in 2 Timothy chapter 1, and now we're in verse 8. Paul says, "Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord Jesus, nor of me, His prisoner." The message of the gospel, it's nonsense to an unbeliever. I have to believe in a man who lived 2,000 years ago, who died for me and took my punishment. It doesn't make sense to the natural mind. And so just a reminder, Paul is saying, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of being in prison. It's for God's purpose, and he's encouraging Timothy to have the same attitude. In fact, he says that his suffering is by the power of God. What an odd-sounding statement. His suffering is by the power of God. What Paul is saying is God has allowed this suffering to happen for a reason. It is the power of God that brought this suffering in his life. And so he's not trying to run away from it. He's embracing it because he knows that God has a purpose. So whatever difficult situations you find yourself in right now, God has a purpose for them. Even in the midst of this COVID-19, the coronavirus, God has a purpose for this. It is the power of God that will work in our lives, God's purpose, in the midst of this very, very difficult situation. Verse 9, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before time began. There's a picture of the cross. There's a picture of the gospel. And God's plan was in motion before time even began. That's amazing. Verse 10. And now he has manifested. It has been manifested. That means shown through the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who abolished death, praise God, and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. In all of the Old Testament, they didn't understand what the resurrection was, what it meant to have eternal life. We get to see it in Jesus. He rose from the dead. We are living showcases of eternal life because we have a new life, a new character, a new person, a new spirit living within us. And Paul says in verse 11, this is why I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher. Verse 12, which is why I suffer as I do, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. You know, we can say, I know what I believe, and there's nothing wrong with that. But Paul chooses to say, I know whom I believe. He emphasizes that faith is about a relationship, that having access to this peace as opposed to fear, having access to this power that Paul talks about, this love, the self-control, instead of fear, is all based on a relationship. It's being confident of whom we believe. And then he says, I am confident that the Lord will entrust it. And so there's a keeping. He's saying, I know God will keep this situation. I know God has his hand on this situation. I don't have to feel like I'm doing this alone. Whatever God's purpose is for whatever situation you're dealing with, God has it entrusted in his hand. He's allowed it for a reason. You're a part of it. But you're not left to yourself. God has this entrusted in his hand. Paul was confident of it. You can be confident of this as well. I looked up the word entrusted in the Greek. I didn't write down the Greek word. I apologize. I don't know Greek. But here's what I read. Entrusted, a deposit, a trust, or thing co-signed to one's faithful keeping. Okay, God's given us something to take care of, to keep, to trust, to use well, and he's co-signed for it. Use of the correct knowledge and pure doctrine of the gospel to be held firmly and faithfully and to be conscientiously delivered unto others. He intends for us to use these gifts that he's given us, whether it's unique and whether it's spiritual gifts that he's given an individual, or if the gospel itself, the good news, and the spirit of power, love, and sound mind. He gave us these gifts to use, to build, to grow, to take care of, and then to bless others with. But do not be discouraged. Again, we're not doing this by ourselves or in our own strength. Philippians 2:13 says, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. God's doing this in you. You don't have to do it in your own strength, but you do have to be a willing vessel. But guess what? God works the will of you as well. So even the desire to be a willing vessel is a work of the Holy Spirit. So we can thank him for that and acknowledge him for that. Verse 13, he says to Timothy, Paul does, follow the pattern of sound words or good doctrine that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit who dwells in you. Guard the good deposit entrusted to you. So now Paul switches it. First, he was talking about how this good, this gift has been entrusted to God for safekeeping, but it's also been entrusted to us for safekeeping and for good use. Now, I want to point out, look back at verse 7. If you're taking notes, you could just write a note that verse 7 and verse 13 and 14 seem to be linked together, kind of like bookends. He says, from in faith and love, there's the love that we've been given, that is in Christ Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, that's the power that you've been given. And then he says, to guard it, that's self-control. Just wanted to throw that in there. But what does guard mean? Guard means to keep, to protect, to take care of. But we're also supposed to share this. Keeping does not mean holding on to or keeping secret. The keeping means that we're taking responsibility to use it well. God wants us to grow in our gifts, to fan them into flame, to stoke them up. See verse 6. He wants us to grow in those gifts. This stay-at-home order and this social distancing that we are dealing with these days has given us actually a unique opportunity. We have friends, family, coworkers, people we meet in the grocery store. People are scared right now. They're scared and they're looking for answers. And brothers and sisters, if you've trusted in the Lord Jesus, you not only have the answer, you don't not only know what the answer is, but you know the answer personally. And we can share the source of our peace. We can share the source of our power, the source of our love, and the source of our self-control. God entrusted these gifts to Paul. God entrusted these gifts to Timothy. And God entrusted these gifts to every believer. He's entrusted them to me. He's entrusted them to you. Use the gifts that God has given you, and specifically the Spirit that God has given you to do His work, which we see in this passage. The primary work that He is talking about is sharing the gospel with others. Use the gift of the gospel and the gift of His Holy Spirit to give you the power, the love, and the sound mind to do His work. God has given you an amazing gift. Now He's asking us to use it. Look for unique ways to use that in this time, while still being cautious and avoiding unnecessary risk. I'm isolated at home, but I'm doing what I can to reach out to as many as I can using the gift of the internet, that resource. That's amazing. We have so much access to people. Physically, we're separated, but we are quite a bit together, thankfully, due to technology. So I'm thankful for that. Oh, so, but there are people who are hurting, who have need. And I pray the Lord would give you wisdom on how to meet those needs. There are physical, felt needs. There are people who are hungry. There are people who might not have enough toilet paper. Who would have thought that God would use toilet paper as a way to show His love? Maybe you have some toilet paper and you know somebody that needs some. But whatever it is, use those gifts. I'm reminded of a quote from The Fellowship of the Ring. This is J.R.R. Tolkien, one of my wife Melissa's favorite quotes. He says, "I wish it need not have happened in my time," said Frodo, talking about such peril and danger. He says, "So do I," said Gandalf, "and so do all who live to see such times. But this is not for them to decide. All we have to decide is what we will do with the time that we are given." And maybe you're listening to this message either this morning or later, and you would say, "I want that peace. I want that power that the Bible talks about. I don't want to have to live in fear. but I don't know the God that we've been speaking of, the God that I speak of. If you don't know him, today is the day to put your faith in him, to trust him. The same person who wrote the words in 1 Timothy also wrote in 1 Corinthians, "For I," that's Paul, "delivered to you of first importance that which I received." So he was taught this as well. "Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures." Our sin separates us from God. The things that we do that are wrong, God's perfect. And our sin separates us from him. But God, loving us, did not want to be separated from us. So he had a plan. From the beginning of time, he sent his son, who lived a perfect life. His name was Jesus. Never having done anything wrong, he willingly allowed himself to die a horrible death on the cross, taking my punishment and yours, and paying the price, which is shed blood of the innocent, something that neither of us could do because we are not innocent, because we have sinned. He died for us, that if we would believe, we could have eternal life. And with it comes these other gifts we've been talking about. The peace that he leaves us. The power, the love, and self-control. Not having to hold on to fear. All of this comes in having a relationship with Jesus. I'm not saying that it magically just snap your fingers and everything changes. But it comes through walking in faith in the Lord. He will start to change the heart of the new believer. So I invite you to make today the day that you believe, that you trust in the Lord. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10 says, "Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that he has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved." You can do that. You can do that right now. And I pray that many will. That's my prayer, that this would reach folks that have never believed. And if you have decided to follow Jesus, or if this talk has encouraged you, would you encourage me by leaving a comment? And if you want to talk to somebody about what we've talked about this morning, if you want to see from God's word and learn for yourself how you can trust the Lord, if you've got questions, leave a comment and a way for me to reach out to you. And I will. Well, let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your Holy Spirit that lives inside of every believer. I thank you, Lord, that we do not need to succumb to terrifying fear of any situation, including the coronavirus. But any situation, we don't have to live in fear. You've given us a spirit of power and of love and of self-control, and we thank you for that. And you've given us your peace that surpasses understanding. And we thank you for that. You've given us relationship with the living God and an eternal life, that one day we will be with you. And Lord, I don't even have to worry about when I die, because I know I will be with you. And I thank you for that precious gift. I pray your blessing upon your people today, your blessing over all the homes that are watching this. Lord, I pray your blessing, your favor, your provision upon them, your Holy Spirit to indwell their house, Lord, that they would surrender their hearts to you and acknowledge you as Lord, that you would be glorified in their homes. Lord, bless the work of their hands. Give them eyes to see what you are doing. Give them your heart to respond in love to hurting people around them, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, join us for worship at 10 a.m. on Facebook. Facebook Live at 10 a.m. on Grace Fellowship's page. I will continue to bring God's Word to you each Sunday morning. It might not be at the same time, and it will be different presenters. And then Mondays through Saturdays, 12 o'clock, we have a daily short post of encouragement and God's Word called Seeing Christ in the Crisis. So I invite you to participate in that. And look for discussion questions in a comment to this post. The Lord bless you in this day. I love you guys. Thank you so much for watching.